Expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. You like the way I said that?
You said that so good this time.
You know, we have to vary.
158 times, you're getting better and better, Dr. Palmer.
Well, no, I'm getting bored.
And that was Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chippo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
We most certainly do.
And that's Al Barbarino that sings our song. This is the 159th time he's singing our song.
Yes, I know.
And by the way, he's going to be doing a memorial service at St. Hedwig's at 7 p.m. this Friday evening in honor of Sharon Angelus. It's going to be on January 24th. So anyone that wants to see Al and...
Where is it again?
St. Hedwig's in Floral Park.
And that's Friday night?
Friday night, yes, at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yes, and he's going to be...
Okay. Al, that'll be $150.
So let's get on with the show. We got a great guest today, Doc.
Go ahead and introduce.
Okay, I will. Ray Lang, he's an attorney. He's a Catholic attorney. And you know what Shakespeare said? Kill all the lawyers. That's not true. This guy's got to not be killed. He's a great guy. But the thing that attracted me about him is that he's an attorney, but he made his profession a ministry to help people and to help Catholic people, to help those that are losing their homes, those that need help, that those that can't afford it. He's there for them. And so welcome, Ray.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
You attracted me, and I said to Jesus, Jesus, we got to get this guy.
In all honesty, I didn't know a thing about you. But after we met, I'm so glad you're here.
But you know what? He's a gentleman. He responded to my contact. He called back right away as soon as I researched him and I called him. And we thank you for coming, Ray. So tell us a little bit something about yourself.
Well, Tony, I mean, before I start.
And I'm John.
And John, okay. You know, you might hear, if you think about an attorney and a lawyer, how can that person actually have a ministry around it? And it's, with God, everything is possible.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And how I ended up building my practice into a ministry is when the housing crisis hit a few years ago. I had worked on Wall Street for 25, 30 years, and I was blessed in a lot of ways, and I developed a lot of skills and experiences. But when the housing crisis hit back in 2008, I was praying, and God gave me a message, and he told me that, you know, people don't care about investing, about Wall Street right now. They care about their homes, saving their homes. They care about protecting their jobs. So I felt that I should follow that lead. And I left Wall Street, and I started trying to get in that mission of helping people through this recovery. Mm-hmm. Now, early on, I started doing a lot of pro bono work out in Suffolk County for foreclosures. And I had a client come to me early on and gave me this little prayer. And I want to say this prayer.
Go ahead.
To start the conversation.
Absolutely.
And it sort of set the tone for my law practice. It said, it's a prayer for protection. And it says, the light of God surrounds you. The love of God unfolds you. The power of God protects you. The presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Wow. Oh.
Now, this came from a client who was in foreclosure losing their home. And I was in court advising them as a pro bono lawyer. And this really struck me. And this set the tone to eventually... found my law practice and start saving homes, creating jobs, and guiding souls.
Wow.
Which is my tagline, my ministry.
Yeah. And we want people to know there are people like you out there. There are Catholic professionals that are out to help other people. That's well, what's so beautiful about you.
Well, the way I look at it is we all have gifts nothing, and talents and experiences that God wants us to share. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be God's instrument, his vehicle, his so-called loudspeaker. And I'm in a position where many people come and they have a lot of stresses, a lot of problems. They're losing their homes. Their marriages are falling apart. Their families are hurting. So my goal when people come in is to sit down and try to bring hope and optimism and direction and ultimately turn all this negative energy into positive energy. And as I do that, I believe I'm bringing people closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
So reality is when my business model, my business plan is to do that. And you know, I do have a business and sometimes I might make some money doing it, but the most important thing is every time someone comes to me, I actually believe that God sent them to me. Mm-hmm. And before they come, I pray for wisdom. And I try to follow that wisdom.
So, how did you get so close to God? What happened?
It's been, yeah, it's a tough question.
My question,
same questions. Well, you know, I believe our relationship to God is personal. And
intimate and experiential.
Yeah, and you get closer through time, and as you see the miracles in the world and in your life, it confirms that relationship. And even through your difficulties and trials and tribulations that I've been throughout my life, it's brought me closer to God. And the love that I've had around me with my family and my parents.
Okay. So your upbringing is what brought you closer to God.
Yeah, right? The foundation was there. My parents are very spiritual people.
What inspired you to make your profession a ministry, and that's exactly what it is. It's a ministry.
Well,
how did you come about this?
Well, again, from my background, what I've done, I mean, I was on Wall Street. I was a corporate lawyer for big investment banks. I was an investment banker. I ran a few companies. I mean, all these things, and there were a lot of distractions that could have taken me away from my faith. But I've always felt that I was going on following God's path, whatever that is. So even where I was at that time, I believed that it was God wanted somebody who's spiritual and following Jesus's teachings, even there on Wall Street. But at the same time, I developed a lot of skills and experience and ability to work out things and come up with strategies to work out things. It was an evolution of my talents and gifts. And today it's brought me where families come in, people come in that are struggling. And I use those experiences and background to actually help them work through their struggles and through the stresses that they're going through.
Yeah,
and you also were saying before the program that you have a lot of resources that you bring to bear.
Well, what I do is the way I look at it is, I'm sort of like a family doctor in a lot of ways. A family doctor cares about a person's health, and you go to them and you trust them. And then, but they're not going to do heart surgery. Okay, they'll bring people that they trust in. Well, the way I run my practice is I'm all about relationship, building relationships with people. Okay, and then coming up with strategies. And then what happens is, and I care about people's well-being. And what I have is a network of good-hearted spirits. I mean, people that I trust, that I will bring in as my specialist or surgeons. So if someone has some issue in a criminal court or some issue, there's a personal injury, I have lawyers that I trust that have good hearts that I will bring in to the relationship and introduce them. And then it's the same, but I will always continue and be there for my clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you could think of me sort of like a doctor who has a general practice,
clearinghouse almost.
Well, yes, yes, and there's certain things that I have expertise and I've developed expertise, you know, that I will do myself. But the most important thing about my practice is when people come, trying to help them through whatever the difficulties are in a positive way. And by doing that, bringing them, I believe, closer to God.
Absolutely.
And bringing hope and positive energy. Because if when people are stressed out, they're usually a lot of negative energy there. And all their focus is on negativity and bad things. What God gives me the mission to do is to sort of turn that around and have them start turning towards positive things. Focus on good things in their life. Because God does want people to be happy. And I like to say I look at the big picture, okay? Not the transaction. I look at the big picture and the long term. And to me, the long term and the big picture is to get to the heavenly kingdom. Mm-hmm. So when people come in, I'm open to God's message and trying to get that message out. That listen, your problem is just a trial and tribulation that you're going to go through. And I also tell my clients, if you get through them through faith, that difficulty will become a blessing in your life. That's and will true. Bring you closer to God.
That's true.
So again, the message is that there's hope and there's solutions to every problem. Okay, sometimes we may not understand it at this time, but if you're close to God and you're following his path, only good things will happen.
And you said Absolutely. Earlier, too, that your approach is to negotiate rather than being confrontation.
Yes. My philosophy of the law practice is a little different. A lot of lawyers seek to create controversy, and they want to litigate so they could make more money.
Yeah.
I'm a deal guy because I came from Wall Street. I'm a workout specialist, and my philosophy is negotiate, always negotiate, and find win-win scenarios, and bring reconciliation to the situation, which is very similar to a penance and confession.
Yep.
So the idea is to come up with solutions that have positive effects for everyone, even adversaries. Mm-hmm. And that's the challenge that I try to achieve, and I rely on God's wisdom to that.
And it works.
I see miracles all the time. Very difficult situations. People have come to me where they prayed to God, and all of a sudden I show up. And then when they come in and said, "You prayed to God, and I'm here," I said, "I guess I can't turn you down. My mission is to help you." And I tell them, because of your faith, that's where things get solved. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. I'm an instrument, the way I look at it. Okay, which I have skills and experiences, but the most important thing is that the person's faith themselves is really solves the problems.
Yeah.
So that's sort of how I look.
You're in my mind like this. Was it Dr. Willoughby that was on TV years ago?
Years ago.
Dr. Willoughby, if I got his name right.
Yeah, Marcus
ago.
Dr. Willoughby.
Marcus Willoughby, yeah. And that's what you remind me of. But you are a doctor because you're a doctor of jurisprudence. So in reality, you are a doctor. And so what I'm getting, Ray, is that there's no situation, no special case that you would turn down. So if people are troubled and they go to you, you maybe can help them out.
Well, I won't turn people down. And the way I approach this is when I give free consultations, and I don't really call it a consultation. I call it a getting to know you meeting, because people come in and they got to get to know me, and I want to get to know them. And basically, it's about building relationships. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people come in and they want to do things. They want to hurt somebody. They want to use negative things like anger and their hatred and all that kind of stuff. So I'm there now to try to change that and get them thinking not about evil ways to go about it, but positive, loving ways. If they don't want to accept my advice and guidance as we get to know each other, then there's probably another lawyer out there that will help them do that. Okay. To me, I'm here to do God's work, get God's message out to my clients, okay? And basically get them to understand whatever the situation is, that there's a loving God that wants to help them through.
Can you share any of the stories that may have...
Sure.
We love those things.
You want me to tell you stories?
No, true stories.
True stories. Yes, I'll tell you, I had a gentleman come in, and he saw me in court one day talking to somebody. I mean, and usually I mean, I'm open to the ministry whenever it comes. I am not bashful about sharing it in court to anybody.
Even. We certainly have noticed that in just talking with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty open about it.
You're making our job very easy.
Yeah. But it's not about me. I'm the loudspeaker. But anyway, he saw me in court talking to somebody that was crying and a little upset. And he told me later, he said, God told him, that's the guy that's going to save your home. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now this gentleman, I mean, I think he was from Peru. He sought me out and found me in court and asked me, look, I've been trying to save my home. I've been trying to work a deal with the bank, a loan modification on a foreclosure for a couple of years now. I had two lawyers and I'm just having a lot of trouble. And I haven't lost a house yet, but I'm not making any progress. And I prayed to God, and then I saw you, and he told me to go to you. I looked at him, and I said, okay, if God's telling you to come to me, I guess that's my mission. I can't guarantee you anything, but I'm going to work with you.
Man.
So the gentleman came in, and then we started working, and I probably worked on it for another year. There were, I think, 26 conferences with a judge, 20 submissions, three lawyers. the mortgage had gotten to over $500,000, where originally it was like $300,000 because of all the arrears and all the missed payments. Finally, it got to the point where we had a conference, a hearing with the judge, and we finally decided we were going to go after bad faith. So I went up to talk to the judge at a conference. The bank brings their bank rep, and they have a bank lawyer and all this stuff, and they basically said, this guy, it's denied. You know, he doesn't make the money. And the gentleman was a hardworking guy. I mean, he was going to school at Stony Brook and got his social work degree. He was working in the city in some catering. His wife had passed away, and he raised his two children. He had his parents living with him. He was a very good-hearted, hardworking person. And I felt he definitely deserved to be treated fairly here. Even though the finances didn't really work at this time because he didn't make enough money. So, but basically, God, I went in there, I said a little prayer, and I told the judge, I said, God, I mean, help me with this. And I said, well, if you would have given him a deal 2 years ago, he would have been able to afford it. And the judge responded. And God gave me other words to say. By the time I was done, within a week, they changed their minds. Mm. And they gave him a deal that was affordable, very workable, and we basically saved this house.
Wow.
And I looked at him afterwards, and he's the only client that ever came to me and paid me more money than I asked for. Literally, he came in, and I wouldn't take it initially, but he said, look, you solved the problem, I knew you would, and he paid me additional money.
Wow.
And he was so, but more importantly, I looked at him and I said, your faith did it, because God told you to come to somebody, saw me, I came in, I was the vehicle, and your faith saved your home.
Wow. Because you're a man of God.
Yes.
Because you're open to the Spirit and to His wisdom.
And Ray, we have a lot of listeners that fit that mold, that are, I believe, in that situation. People that are unemployed, that are having problems with their mortgages and stuff. Can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely.
Can you give your phone number? And how?
Well,
I can just vision them saying in the audience, how can we get to this guy?
well, I mean, again, I'm here to do God's work. The best way to find me is through my website, and it's www.asyourlawyer.com.
asyourlawyer.com.
That's it. And you'll see all the contact information there. And it's something kind of funny about the website. I just want to talk a little about one of my clients, and I do a lot of small business work too. I mean, I help a lot of small businesses using some of my background experience in different ways. One of the companies that I'm counsel to actually developed this website for me, and because they're an internet, they do internet social media stuff. And what we basically did is, we came up with this concept, an idea of sharks versus dolphins. And everybody sort of thinks of lawyers as sharks. In fact, so many people come in, they sort of feel uncomfortable going there, but it's a necessary evil. And I'm not saying all lawyers are like that, but the shark concept is out there. You know, I've dealt with I call the great white sharks on Wall Street, and then the sand sharks, which are in some of the other courts. So, and to me, I sort of categorize myself as a dolphin. And if you read the website, you'll see this very interesting discussion about sharks versus dolphins and how dolphins actually, in the long run, because they go in groups and they're intelligent and they do things, that they defeat sharks. And we talk about sharks, they may go in for the kill, but a lot of times there's a lot of collateral damage.
You got to be careful. If the people go on the website, they might think there's something fishy about you.
Yeah, right. Well,
there is, because you work for God.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm not bashful about that. I mean, I get my confidence when I go to court and I'm dealing with any situation or I'm giving advice to somebody. I mean, I have clients that have net worths of hundreds of millions of dollars. I have clients that have negative net worths. It doesn't really matter to me. They were sent there for a reason. And when they come in, I'm just open to whatever God's wisdom gives me. So I'm not bashful, I'm not afraid, and I'm very confident because I feel whatever I'm doing, I have God on my side. Okay? I'm always on the righteous side. And I know and I believe as I pursue whatever I'm pursuing, that whatever the result will be what God wants.
You know, anytime somebody is walking with God, they get crosses in their lives. And I know you had a bad physical cross. Would you like to share?
Well, we all do. And I could go and I've had, all of us have had many. I mean, about a year and a half ago, you know, I'm a pretty active person. I play
bad. Young man, too.
I'm not that young. I mean, I'm
compared to us, you're young.
Well, but I'm a big believer in balance in life, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual is the center. So I play basketball a couple of nights a week at the local YMCA. I do some weightlifting and stuff, and I've been doing it for a long time. Anyway, I was having some trouble breathing, and it was getting a little worse, and I thought it was bronchitis. So my wife saw I was sort of laboring. I couldn't even lay down without having problems. She said, "Oh, gonna go to a doctor." And of course, I hadn't been a doctor for years. I mean, I really should, and we all should look after our health. But you know what? I felt I could self-heal and whatever. Finally, I went to the doctor, and I went to this doctor. I mean, a very good guy. Anyway, I tell him, "I think I have bronchitis. Give me a prescription." So he gives me he checks me out and everything, and he gives me the prescription, and then he goes, about to leave, he says, "Hold on a minute, humor me for a minute. I listened to something in your heart, didn't sound right. Let me see if this cardiologist is still here. And it's getting late in the day. I want to go play basketball that night. So, but I said, okay, I'll humor you. He calls the cardiologist. He was there. Cardiologist does some tests. And I'm sitting there waiting, and it's getting later and later. I'm getting aggravated, and the cardiologist comes up and looks at me and says, "Okay, you're going to go right in the hospital, and you're going to have open heart surgery." And I looked at him. I said, "No way. Look at me. I'm in good shape. I work out. I mean, I got my prescription here. I'm going out, get my prescription. I'm going to play basketball tonight." Cardiologist said, "Well, you could do that, but there's a good chance you could have cardiac arrest tonight." And I said, "Good point." 3 days, 3 days later, I had open heart surgery. Now, the way I looked at the open heart surgery was, first of all, it came out of the blue. So it wasn't like I sat there for weeks saying, "Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?" It just, I had no choice. So I went along with it, and I looked at it as a positive experience. And I said, and also, if it's my time that God's going to take me now, I feel like I was going in the right path, and that's my time. So what ended up happening was I was joking. I was very positive. I was still getting on phone calls in the hospital until I had the surgery. Then things changed. It became real. Yeah, it became real. It was a mitral valve that needed to be repaired, so they had to cut open and all that kind of stuff. And it was difficult, painful, and all that kind of stuff. But But afterwards, my attitude was optimistic and positive, like I do. I gotta walk the walk. Walk the talk, so to speak. So if I go in there and start feeling sorry for myself and being negative, how can I advise other people to be positive when they're going through their struggles? Mm-hmm. So to me, it was important that I continue to be positive and optimistic. And as time went on, you know, even my cardiologist said, you know, that's probably the most important thing that you have going for you is your faith, your spirituality, and your positive attitude. Okay, and then I was negotiating with my surgeon. How quickly can I go play basketball again? So I did go back, and I'm playing now, and I've been playing for a year and a half, and I'm pretty much back to where I was before, maybe even a little better. But to me, the heart surgery is a blessing in my life. I look at it,
absolutely.
And again, now I could relate to people going through physical ailments, which I really never had.
And it brought you closer to God.
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, because it's all about perspective. It's all about attitude. It's all about where you focus your energies. Mm-hmm. You focus it on worrying, then it stops you from focusing on positive things and being productive. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus said, you can't add a second to your life by worrying.
That's right.
And God takes care of the birds and the flowers.
And he
cares much more about each of us than that. So why even waste time worrying?
Good,
but we do.
Good
anyway.
Philosophy.
Oh yeah. Well, that's human nature.
Yeah.
So that's exactly one of the things I do when people come in. I said, look, don't worry about it. Spend time leaving here, focusing on productive things like family, your job, all those kind of things. When you have financial problems, I mean, your financial problems aren't going to go away by worrying. They're going to go away by going out there and improving your financial situation, getting control over your financial situation, understanding the financial situation. And that's what I do. I actually help them do that. So it's not only about the faith. I also have some skills about helping them figure it out.
Yeah, that's a great point, by the way. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, give me your burdens and I will carry them and I will do and you will not have to worry. So that's a good point that listeners should really know.
Exactly. I have a story that I tell most of all my clients, too, about faith and about the worry and the burdens. What I tell them, and after a while they hear this, I say, you got to jump in the wheelbarrow. And what that means is you shouldn't be walking the tightrope yourself. If you're walking the tightrope yourself, that's not faith. That's your abilities. So I said, what you got to do is you got to jump in God's wheelbarrow and let God push the wheelbarrow over the tightrope. That's faith, because basically you're letting go of your own limitations and your own problems. So that's a common thing I tell my clients. They say, jump in the wheelbarrow. When they start losing faith, I say, jump in the wheelbarrow. And they know that because I tell them the story. And that's sort of a lot of ways I communicate and connect to people and clients is, again, God gives me the words and the message.
And you know, yeah, I have a song, believe it or not.
Okay.
And I think it summarizes what everything you said about you and your work.
Okay. Look forward to it. Thank you.
that's what you do, and that's who you are.
A channel of God's peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the mission. I'm on a mission.
Yeah.
You know, trying to rebrand the law profession.
Yeah.
AsYourLawyer.com.
That's it. Yeah.
AsYourLawyer.com. That's the way. You're an instrument.
We need
of peace.
Some more lawyers like you out there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think we need more people in all professions. That.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring Catholic professionals to our listeners, so that they know there are Catholics out there that are professionals that have values that are related to their religion. And
you know,
Catholic
too, Ray, as we do the show every week, we have a saint that comes into Tony's head.
Yeah.
And Tony prays about it.
Right.
And I'm sure somehow he picked a lawyer and a saint for lawyers.
Actually, I picked
saint
the...
Thomas More?
You got it, baby.
He's the saint of lawyers.
He's the patron saint of lawyers. So, and by the way, he had his own little prayer that he often said. He was martyred. But the reason why I chose him is because, yeah, he's a patron saint of lawyers. But he showed that he had conscience and he had morals and he had values. And he was not going to give up those values for anyone, not even the King of England. So... starts off that Thomas.
It's God calling. I think. Hold on. Yeah.
Hold
on.
One of my clients. Oh,
one thing I am is I'm an accessible lawyer.
That's good because not too many are.
Yeah, because people.
It's Thomas More. He's on the phone.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it all starts off with Thomas More saying to his daughter, Thomas More's daughter, saying to Thomas, "But it's so easy. You just have to say what he wants you to say." That was Margaret, a young woman in her 20s, who pleaded with her father to say what the king wanted him to say. He responded, "Margaret, my dear, it's not easy," he replied. Thomas More had been a writer and a lawyer. He's been a member of the parliament and a judge and was famous for being a very fair judge. King Henry VIII had chosen him as one of his adversaries and had then made him his Lord Chancellor. Thomas was not only popular, he had become very powerful. But within a few years, he resigned as Lord Chancellor, and there was every chance he would be sent to prison or even executed just because he would not say a few words to please the king. So how did this all come about? And what did this King Henry want him to say? King Henry very much wanted to have a son who would be a king when he died. He had a daughter named Mary, but no sons. And now the doctors said his wife, Queen Catherine, would not have any more children. So Henry claimed he had never been properly married to her and divorced her. Henry then married another woman named Anne. The Pope, who in those days was the head of the whole church, said this was wrong. So too did Thomas More. It was then he resigned as Lord Chancellor, and because he believed that the king was doing wrong, he also refused to go to see Anne crowned queen. That was Henry's new bride. All this made Henry even more upset, but Thomas was still popular with the ordinary people. 2 years later, the Pope still said Anne was not truly Henry's wife. So Henry persuaded Parliament to make a law saying that in England, he himself and not the Pope was head of the church, and that Anne was his legal wife, and that her children, and not Mary's, should rule after him. What was more, Henry wanted all the important people in the country to swear on the Holy Bible that this was true and right, and this is the way it should be. So, of course, Thomas was asked to swear on his holy oath. When he said he wouldn't, the king became angrier even more. What's more, he didn't want someone as popular as Thomas, standing up against him. So he wanted Thomas out of the way, which was why Margaret was now trying to persuade her father to say the oath. But Moore had morals. He had standards. He had values.
And he was a lawyer.
What the lawyer, like all lawyers should have, and like Ray has. And so, again, he said, well, it's easy, she said to her father. It's just a few words. Say anything. It'll save you. But it's very wrong to say what's not true is true, her father insisted. Nothing she could say would persuade him to take the oath. So sometime later, he was locked up in a cold, dark, damp cell in the Tower of London. Friends came to see him. They too tried to convince him to change his mind. Don't be silly. Just say it. You'll be free. You'll live. Only if you swear the oath, you can go free. But Thomas kept silent, kept to his morals, kept to his values. A year later, after being in prison, Thomas was charged with being a traitor to the king and the country. That's known as treason. The punishment for treason is execution. He still refused to take the oath. He stood on his morals. He stood on his pillars of righteousness. He was taken to court and found guilty. Later, he was beheaded. His head was stuck on a post on the London Bridge. He could have saved himself. He didn't. It was a matter of conscience, a matter of values. And Thomas More kept true to his conscience and to his values and would not give up his standards. And so that's the short story of Thomas More.
I hope God's plan isn't for me to get beheaded.
You know, last week.
If it is, though, I have to accept it.
I forgot Thomas More was beheaded. Last week we had St. John the Baptist, and he was beheaded.
He was beheaded, yeah. So we're talking about.
And all I could think of was these guys running around heaven looking for their heads.
But More exemplifies the values of what lawyers should have. He exemplifies the values that you have and that other lawyers should have, so that when people go to them in trouble, because they are truly the doctor, their doctor, they must feel comfortable in dealing with them. By the way, we have a 2-minute
You know what I was going to say? Yeah, we have a secret agent, X9, who writes commentary on scripture for us to read on the air. And he lives in a dungeon way down deep in the earth, but he manages to get him to us. Really something.
He's being melodramatic.
I could tell.
No. Well, I'm introducing the fact that we want people to really think, who could our secret agent X9 really be?
Okay, so, all right, so John, would you do the honors?
Oh, like, okay.
Being as I'm from Brooklyn, and I do have a little Brooklyn accent, you're much more dignified.
All right, but you know, and the commentary on the scripture is on the words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that's how lawyers, doctors, everyone stick to their values, like Thomas More.
Right.
We hear the words of John the Baptist in today's gospel as the priest holds up before us the sacred body and blood of Christ at each Mass. When these words of 2,000 years ago are said today, it is as if the whole world is stopping to recognize the one we often take for granted. This moment in which we are invited to approach the table of the Lord is a moment of adoration and a moment in which we can profess faith in the sacramental presence of the Lord Jesus now in our midst. We gaze on the one who takes away our sins and those of the whole world. what is then meant to happen within us. We are led to see Jesus in all the moments of our lives, to see him in our home life, to see him in those we walk by, to see him at work and in the neighborhood we live. And once we recognize his presence, to then serve him by serving others, which is what you do, Ray. These words, "Behold the Lamb of God," do they make you stop and think? Do they make you see what we should see in one another's lives? Isn't that something? How it fits into what you were talking about and what you do in your life, what we do in our lives, what Trevor does in his life.
And these are tomorrow's scriptures. This is a reflection on tomorrow's scriptures. And Ray, you reflect the scriptures. You really do.
Should we get off our soapbox now?
No, this is your show.
But we wonder, like you say, when people
God's
come
show,
in,
actually.
Yeah. When you God's. Come in, and somebody comes into you, you see God in them. Yeah, and you see somebody, one of his people, hurting. And you bring peace to them. You really do. And we're not coming here to inflate your ego, but we're telling the truth, because what you described in the first half hour is a man who has given himself over to God and wants to be his instrument of peace. That's where that song fit in. And that's where even the scripture commentary fits in, and where Thomas More fits in. Wouldn't you don't give
all
up
the dots
your values.
Are connected. Huh? All the dots are connected. Is
they
what
are.
We're trying to say. They really are.
All I believe is I'm following God's path for me right now.
Yeah.
And even though there's evil and distractions trying to knock it off, I mean, I'm diligent and determined to do that and get God's message out.
Can you think of another story that you would share offhand?
Yeah, this sort of illustrates a little broader skill. I had a family come in that were in foreclosure. Usually it starts with foreclosure because that's people find me because I've been active in that area.
Yeah.
A lot of it starts with pro bono. And they also had some litigation going on. And frankly, the marriage was on the rocks. And they came to me, and the guy ran a business. He was in a tile business. His wife was an educator, and you know, I prayed and said, "What am I going to do here?" There were a lot of bad things going on, a lot of negative things. Anyway, as time went on, God gave me messages to give them, and as time went on, we started solving some of these problems. You know, and the marriage started getting a little stronger, and the gentleman came to me and said, "You know, I have an opportunity to buy a business and enhance his own tile business into stone." So that's another thing I know how to do. I know how to work deals. I mean, mergers and acquisition type things. So I got involved and I helped negotiate, and document and the whole thing. And then Hurricane Sandy hit, and one of his partners that he thought he had some financing to do this deal, and he was actually buying a building and buying a lot of assets. His partner no longer can do it because he lost properties and didn't have the funding. So we were at the deal table and he was short quite a bit of money. So I was able to actually get the financing for him at the last minute, because I do have access to different people, different financing. And his business, just to go back, so we closed the deal and then he went into that business. His business, he's probably in the tile business, he's probably making a couple hundred thousand a year as a business. He wasn't making much money for his income because he couldn't even afford his house. He told me that this year, the first year after, he basically made $1.2 million in revenues with about $5 million of estimates. And he's doing a lot of things out in the East End. And I feel, and he comes to me and says to me, "This would not be possible without you." And again, I just turned to him and said, I was an instrument.
That's right.
And I have skills and experiences. And now you're in a strong position. I mean, he has four children. They're all, working. The things are going well for them. The marriage is strong. The litigation, we settled. And now he has a business that's changed his life. And the way I look at it is that was God sent me there to be. And he calls. And then later on, he said, you're like a guardian angel for me. And I say, well, we all should be guardian angels for each other.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because we all have gifts and spirit. All we need to do is open up to God's plan and message.
And that's the whole point of you being here and the real estate man that we had last week.
Yeah.
The point is that God is alive in you.
Yes.
And in Tony and in me and in Trevor. And he wants us to step out of our shells and be him for others. That's
absolutely
what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And if we don't do that, other lives will go down the drain. Not that, Jesus is Savior, but he uses us. And that's simply, he uses you.
Absolutely uses us. And listen, I can see right now our listeners listening with excitement that they are being introduced to you, because a lot of our listeners, and John, darn well, they are troubled. They are. Give us your website.
It's Azure Lawyer. I mean, www.azurelawyer.com.
Okay.
But the way I look at it, it's not about me. There's nothing about me. It's about a team of people.
Yeah.
A team of God instruments. And I'm sort of the strategist. I'm the light.
Yeah.
I try to be the light, but I'm bringing other people together that actually are good-hearted people that care about people and want to share their talents and experiences.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it is I call it God's business model, but everyone involved and does this, everybody will get rewarded.
That's the point of the show. I know it. It's to get our listeners
charged
up for them to be linchpins
absolutely
of God's work in their
absolutely
lives.
Yeah.
In whatever way he called you, step out of your boat if you want and come into God's world. Yeah. Let his love take over in you and lead you.
Stop focusing on negative things.
You got it.
Start focusing on positive things, loving things, and God's message will come to you. How you could use
great advice.
And people don't believe that. And I say to them, well, how did you manage to get through that problem? Well, somehow I was led to this passage in Scripture. I said, that's God. Or I met this man who was a lawyer. I met this man who's a businessman. And he had advice. He said things to me that were just what I needed to hear.
It's not by accident.
No, it isn't.
No, nothing by accident.
And it takes, everybody has to surrender so that they can do that. Don't you find that, Tony?
Yes, absolutely. But you must surrender. You must surrender.
Yes, you got to jump in the wheelbarrow.
You got to jump in the wheelbarrow, so to speak. And you must just... And Jesus says it, turn it over to me and I will carry it for you. So have faith. John and I have faith in Jesus and we're turning our stuff over to him. And he's
well, he can have it. I don't want it. but everybody has stuff. And a lot of that stuff gets in the way of being open, like you said.
Yep.
Put it aside. Put it in God's hands. We all have health problems. We all have that. And we just put them in God's hands and say, you're the boss. You take care of that. Help me not to go there so I can listen to you and do your will. Isn't that what you do? That's what
absolutely
I do. That's what you do.
That's absolutely.
And it's hard. And if you're in a marriage and it looks like it's going to fall apart, I have couples come in and I pray with people in my private practice sometimes I get the word, I will not do another thing with either one of you unless you both make an appointment to see a priest and go to the sacrament of reconciliation if they're Catholic. And until you do that, I can't deal with you. And they look at me and they say, "You mean you're not going to talk with us?" I said, "I don't. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. And I do what God wants me to do. And he's telling me, for you two to work out your problems, you got to both go to confession and not play games. Go to the same priest and let each other observe that you're there.
Absolutely.
Man, because if not, you're playing games. And I don't want to just sit here and have you tell me stories. I don't want that. And you have that too.
Yep.
And you turn people away. You have a lot of people, Tony, come your way.
I do.
And some you help, and some that you
some
judge.
I just can't.
I can't.
I just can't. I try.
But what the way I look at it is, though, there's a reason they're there. You could plant seeds, though.
I do, but
you may not be able to nourish those seeds and build that faith, but you plant the seeds. The way I see an atheist that comes in to me has no purpose about God. The way I see it is I might be here to sort of introduce him to God.
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, there's always a reason. There's always something. And whether they want to retain me and I continue to work with them and build a bigger relationship, it may not even be then. It may come years later.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or they might, or may say something to someone else that brings somebody else.
Absolutely.
It's not for me to determine that.
Absolutely.
And the helping isn't confined to the Catholic religion. Trevor's sitting in the other room. Whoop, he's got a heart attack. Now he grabs his shoulder.
He's our good buddy,
He's a pastor and in his own religion.
Yeah.
And he helps people as well. I mean, it's all across the board. When you put yourself in that line, God comes in, and doesn't he, Trevor? He's shaking his head. They can't see shaking the head on the radio, but we just tell him that he's shaking his head.
Yeah, and again, it's not for us to judge people. Everybody has a personal relationship to God. It's for us to sort of help nourish that relationship to God, whatever faith they are. Okay, I've been involved in my Catholic Church for many years, and that's my faith. But I have clients that are Muslim, Jewish, Christian, different Christians. I mean, they come in, and to me, God sent them there.
God is God.
Yeah.
God,
so to me, it's all about bringing themselves, whatever their faith is, closer to God in their personal relationship. And that's my goal. And turning that any negative energy into the positive energy so they can start focusing on
Trevor, we're going to put on number five because we want to get some prayer time in too. Go ahead, Tony. You're going to say something.
No, let go. Let's go on number five.
Because we're running out of time. I'd like to get a little prayer in here.
Sure.
And our prayer today is that our listeners grab the ball. Our listeners get up to bat. Our listeners come out of themselves and ask, Lord, lead me so I can be you for my husband. I can be you for my wife or for my children. Or I can help my neighbor with this problem or this concern. It's so important for us to realize the best way to change the face of the earth is to allow God to work through us, come alive in us, lead us, so that we can put our stuff aside and move on with God leading us. It's amazing how that happens. So we pray today for that incentive to come to the life of the Lord in your daily work and whatever you do. We pray for our listeners as well, with all of their problems and all of their concerns. And we know that somebody is going to be sent to each listener as a messenger from God saying, I know it's rough, but I'm here. But I'm here for you. So, Tony, you have anything you want to add?
I want to thank Jesus for allowing us to be here today and the Holy Spirit. I want to thank our listeners for listening to us. I ask that you pray for our listeners, and I ask that Jesus, that you pray for our petitions, and we hold our petitions that we receive, and we have a bag full of petitions that we receive. We hold them up to you, Jesus, and we ask that you look at them and you respond to them, and you let them know. You let them know that you are truly not only their best friend, but you are their big brother.
And Ray, you're free. If you have anything you want to say, go ahead, in terms of prayer.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, my parents' store. They have a religious Christian store called the Good News Bookstore And that is an actual ministry for them. So if you're looking to get some ministry and get things there, and a lot of that store is the reason why I'm here today, because my parents have that strong faith.
And instill that faith into you.
Exactly. Yes. So
I'm hearing some words inside of me and saying, hey, don't you understand that I'm alive in you? And don't you understand that if you keep focusing on you, you'll never get to know me? Now I invite you, listeners, put your stuff aside. Give me 10 minutes where I can just touch you and heal you and say, come on, come out of your cubbyhole and be me for those in your life. Forget you and be me for those in your life.
Absolutely.
I have an announcement I have to make. I promised Monsignor Vlorn I would
make
it
before we go. Oh, yes, and I promised his director that we would do it.
Telecare Telethon is this weekend, Saturday, from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Cablevision, Channel 29 and 137, and on Verizon Fios, Channel 296. Monsignor Vlorn and the staff over there do wonderful things, and they're going to have a number of guest stars and priests and celebrities and chefs and so forth. And he's going to be working with Father Joe Del Greco, Monsignor Del Greco, and Father Frank and Nelson. Call over there and make a contribution to keep this going. The phone number is 516-538-8811. 516-538-8811. Better still, tune into cable or Verizon to the Telecare channel.
And they're great people there. They really are. One quick question. Where is Mom's and Dad's store?
Oh, it's in East Northport on Lockville Road.
Lockville Road?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to close with May the Peace of the Lord Be With You.
May the peace of the Lord be with you. With your friends and your family.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the